With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Since it is a Friar Friday, a hat tip to the Cubs for sweeping the Dodgers this week. That was just one of the topics we discussed yesterday with Jesse Rogers of ESPN, also Tony La Russa and the travails with the White Sox. Yeah, they're still a good team, though. That's the thing. He may be a little out of his realm at this point as a manager, but we discussed it all with Jesse. It's going to be our best of the week spotlight interview. It's coming up after this. Check traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Anytime we want to talk some baseball in Chicago, there's no one better than ESPN's Jesse Rogers, who joins us right now in our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. One of the best, one of our favorites. Jesse, great to have you back on in San Diego with Ben and Woods. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
Now, he's much more than just Chicago. Obviously, we can talk anything with you, Jesse, but we'll start.
Well, it's interesting in Chicago right
now.
Yeah,
there's just a lot of stuff going on right now in Chicago, including that Dodgers series. I mean, as Padres fans, obviously, you thank the Cubs for their help, but just kind of weird how things have really snowballed. I mean, after that Padres comeback on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, the Dodgers just can't seem to figure it out right now.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers forgot that there's 143 other games besides the ones against the Padres.
Yeah.
I mean, both teams, I think, have had a couple little letdowns here and there when they're not playing each other in this first month or so of the season. But in all seriousness, I'm a true believer of World Series hangovers, and they can come at any time. Yes, it didn't come right away. They were 13-2 or whatever it was, but it was eventually going to come. You can't just continue with that kind of intensity, especially for a team that's won 8 straight division titles and then a World Series. Now, they've been hit with injuries, so I'm sure they're going to say that, and there's a lot of truth to it. But I mentioned this, I'm sure, to you guys and other people at the beginning of this. There will be a moment of vulnerability with the Dodgers coming off the World Series. Now, there'd probably be a bigger moment of vulnerability if last year was 162, That would be a real hangover. But there's still going to be something. I guarantee it. They're human. These games just won't feel the same as they did all of last year and October. There's just that after you win it, there's that feeling, especially when you're still good, that, okay, let's just fast forward this thing and see if we can repeat. But you've got to play the games before you get to October. You got to play the regular season games. So it's not shocking to me there's an opening there for you guys or the Giants. Now, will that close up when they get healthy, when they get serious? A quick story. In 16, I covered the Cubs when they won the World Series. They absolutely sleptwalked through the first half of 17. I think they were 4 or 5 out at the All-Star break. That wasn't enough of a deficit. They went on a huge run in the second half and won the division. So the Dodgers' run is coming, but this is the time to make up some ground.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned the hangover. I think when you think about dynasties, whether it's the Bulls back in the day, the Yankees back in the day, the Patriots, I don't know that these teams get enough credit, Jesse, for being able to do it year in, year out. And again, the Dodgers, they've gotten close so many times in the eight division titles. It does have to take a toll, and I think we're seeing that right now. It just seems like every move that Dave Roberts makes is the wrong one. They had plenty of chances to win that game last night.
Yeah, and the Cubs are no world beaters. I mean, they're good, but they're not the Cubs of 16, 17. You know, they're decent. You see them, they're still a game under 500. So I think that it's a sign that the Dodgers are not exactly the Dodgers of last year at the moment. Again, injuries play a big part of it, but I think there's a combination of things going on there. Emotionally, it's hard to continue to get up for it, especially when in the middle of this thing, you did have this couple Padre series that did get your emotions high. So
yeah.
That's good in that moment, but then there's always that other side of that where you're going to come back down to earth a little bit, and that's what we're seeing with the Dodgers, in my opinion. This is all stuff between the ears that we can talk about, but there's no stat to back it up, right?
Yeah, we're talking to the great Jesse Rogers from ESPN here on Ben and Woods this morning. Now, so about a week ago, I saw just a little from, I think, a radio station in Chicago tweeted out, you know, some unrest in the White Sox clubhouse. So I don't, again, you hear those things all the time, don't know what validity there is. But then the incident last night with Tony La Russa, not knowing the rules of the game in which he was managing, he had Liam Hendricks go back in the extra innings and run the pitcher, Liam Hendricks, instead of knowing that I could put Jose Abreu out there instead, which would have been a much better option. And he admitted as much. I didn't know the rule. What are they saying in Chicago this morning?
Yeah, I mean, the 7-second delay button on the radio station, they're using it a lot. The Sox fans are pretty upset. If this was an isolated incident, we would chalk it up to, look, a lot of us didn't know that rule. And I'm actually doing an informal poll of American League personnel today, because I think National League personnel probably know it more since their pitcher is bad all the time. But this year, you know, there's only a handful of games that American League teams need to know this rule in the first place. So if this was an isolated incident, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, nobody on that bench knew it, which is also a problem, by the way. They have a first-year pitching coach, basically a first-year bench coach in Miguel Cairo, with a manager that hasn't been in the dugout in 10 years. So what I'm getting at is it's all part of a larger picture with Tony. Things have slipped through the cracks already in the first month and week of the season, and this is just the latest one. And so people are wondering, what's the next one? Even if you can give him a break, because this was a weird, strange rule, he's had other issues already in-game that have been a problem. I think outside the game, he's been pretty good establishing an environment, a culture, leaning on his experience. That the team has had a couple major injuries. This week, Luis Robert is went down, and he's going to be gone for months. So I think there's some things that Tony's doing that are well, but in-game, things are slipping through the cracks, and that was not the Tony La Russa of old. So people are wondering, what's the next thing? That's the major sort of thought that's come out of last night. And look, if Liam Hendricks, who did not have to run the bases, who absolutely did not have to, by rule, run the bases, if he got hurt running the bases, that's a $54 million injury that didn't have to happen to one of the best closers in the league. That would have been devastating. They are so lucky he didn't get hurt. It helped them lose the game, the fact that he had to, it led them to losing the game, but that's just one game. If he had gotten hurt, whole different story. So they got away with one in one sense.
You know, even if I remember correctly, even Jay Stengler in the first extra innings game against the Dodgers had to kind of go out and chat with the umpires and go, okay, so who do I go out and throw out here? I mean, he didn't put his pitcher out there, but it required a bit of an explanation and a bit of a confab with the umpires before even getting it right. I don't think that, to me, is the biggest deal with Tony La Russa. But didn't the White Sox realize when they did this? I mean, it felt like we were all kind of screaming about it the moment that he was hired, that, yeah, he was good, but hasn't the game of baseball changed too much since Tony La Russa was the manager for this to ever really work out in the long run for this team?
Yeah, that was the argument then, and it's kind of still the argument now. Last week was a great example. Billy Hamilton, who you can't find a lighter hitting player in baseball than Billy Hamilton. He came up, listen to this, he came up in the eighth inning. The team was down three runs. They had two guys on base. They have a power hitting, slugging rookie on the bench and let Billy Hamilton bat. Oh. And he said afterwards, down three, the tying runs at the plate. He said afterwards, we were looking for a single in that moment.
Oh.
and everyone's like, is this 1989? I mean, this is 2021. You're down three. You're looking for a single with a power hitting guy on the bench. So there are things like that people are worried about that go towards what you're saying. It's just a different era. Even though he's been around the game for the last 10 years, I was shocked to hear that. Was probably the most shocking thing of all the things Lewis has done so far when he said we needed a single. I don't hear that when you're down one run. This is 2021. You're going for the launch angle, blast in that moment. So it's been strange with Tony for sure.
Well, yeah, you look at managers sometimes, and you, as a manager, really, I feel like you just want to make moves that you can justify, even if they don't work out. Like if he sends the rookie up there and the kid strikes out, no one in the media, none of the fans are going to go, why didn't you let Billy Hamilton hit? No one, like, make, it's almost like obviously you're managing for your job every day, but manage to win the game, obviously, but manage so that you don't have to explain yourself out of dumb moves like that. And that is, by definition, a really dumb move.
Yeah, I mean, he has admitted mistakes, and that's good, but if you keep admitting them, they're going to start to pile up. It's good and bad in admitting a mistake. If you're doing it every other day, it's not a good thing. So, God, he had another moment. I mean, I did his Padres radio, but another moment where, I mean, the starting pitcher absolutely was gassed. They left him in for one more batter. He gave up the game, a two-run homer. I mean, he's done, and they kept him in even after that.
Oh,
it was
God.
Like the eighth inning. Like, you know how your pitcher gives it up? Okay, it's done. You gave a shot. Let's go to
yep.
– he left him in after that. Like, you would leave a ragtag, reliever in there to wear it, but he left his star pitcher, Lucas Giolito, in. It's been really strange with Tony so far.
Talking to Jesse Rogers from ESPN. Jesse, got one more Cubs-related question for you about Chris Bryant, USD's own from San Diego.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a free agent. They had the dispute about the service time, and he lost that, and he had to play one more season with the Cubs. He is putting up some big numbers this year, some real bounce-back numbers after a not-great 2020. Really, 2018 and 2019 were mediocre by the standards he established early in his career. Is it possible that he may end up smelling even better after, if he continues this way this season, he's rebuilding a lot of that value to potentially hit the open market at the end of this season? And from what you've seen, is this a legitimate turnaround here for Chris Bryant?
Yeah, it's definitely legitimate. I mean, the question mark was, could he stay healthy? Because a guy like his size, kind of lanky, those injuries can really get to you. Like, you change who you are at the plate when you are injured, your shoulder, your ankle, whatever it is, your balance is off. So he was injured the last couple of years. He's healthy, and we're seeing the old Chris Bryant. And you talk about whether it be trade value in July or free agency, okay, at the plate, obviously amazing. He's already started at third base, left field, center field, right field, and last night at first base, and played every goddamn position really well. And we're only in the first week of May. He started at five different positions. Jed Hoyer must be licking his chops if he's planning on trading him in July, because you talk about teams being able to mix and match,
yeah,
and move him around. I mean, now he's not just open to teams needing a third baseman. Anybody that needs an outfielder. Anybody that needs a first baseman.
Oh,
I mean, not
boy.
That that's his best position. So this guy's really building his trade value and free agent value as well.
Well, he's not the only one licking their chops, because I'm sitting in here imagining him coming back to where he played his college ball for this team, which would welcome him with open arms. And I don't know, man.
He would love it.
I have no. I have no doubt that he wouldn't, and be a natural fit here.
What's that donut place he always talks about? I mean,
he likes Rose Donuts. It's at the it's at the base of the hill from by USD.
Yeah, he would absolutely love playing for the Padres. I know that. So, and I think I said to you earlier, I mean, you've got your infield's pretty stacked, but you can find a spot for him in the outfield, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely.
Tommy Pham isn't exactly setting the world on fire right now, Jesse.
Yeah, so I absolutely think he'll somehow, some way end up on the West Coast. That's just my gut feeling now. I mean, if the Braves throw a truckload of money, it's a different story, but I just think he just seems like a West Coast guy, obviously from Vegas. So, I know the Padres spent a lot of money, but that would be a pretty good fit.
Jesse, great stuff.
Always,
very intriguing there at the end, especially. We always appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Anytime. Take care, guys.
Jesse Rogers, ESPN.
He's
love
so
talk,
good,
love talking
God,
to him.
So good.
He was on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
And after that interview yesterday, Woods, I spent a good amount of time thinking about the possibility of Chris Bryant on the Padres.
Yeah, you and me both.
Hadn't really considered it much before that, and maybe it's a bit far-fetched at this moment in time. But after seeing how aggressive A.J. Preller, Peter Seidler have been, I don't think I can rule it out entirely, especially the way the Padres' offense has struggled. Now, maybe they will figure it out, and by this time next month, the Padres will be raking, and you'll feel like, hey, you don't want to mess with a good thing. But if they don't get it going, there's going to have to be some move made at some point to try to inject some life into this Padres offense.
The other thing is, if the Dodgers continue to play the way that they are, the door screams wide open. It just swings wide open. And then you look at what's going on, and you're like, okay, now we can actually win the West. So I expect them to be aggressive anyway.
But right now, it's the Giants who are going, holy cow,
we could win the
West. Dodgers and the Padres are not quite what we thought they were. Let's stay in this thing.
Yep.
That's why this series this weekend, I think, is a big one.
It is.
Just kind of setting tones for the next 5 months,
yeah,
for sure. We'll talk about it all. We've got our Rinder report coming up, including the LA Angels bombshell yesterday. Getting started on a Friday. Ben Woods on the Fan.